of War podcast here today to discuss the allegations of genocide in Gaza. If you appreciate and find value in these important discussions, please consider supporting the show. Details will be pinned in the comments below. It's New Year's Eve. My goal, and it's a great day to get a jump start on goals, is to stay on topic and not stray into the multitude of ridiculous and patently false allegations that there are out there against Israel, and just focus on this one. Is there, in fact, a genocide in Gaza? So before we begin, let's start by defining genocide. Genocide isn't just something that you feel occurs because you're sad about war, okay? Genocide is an actual thing with an internationally recognized definition. That definition is that genocide is the deliberate, and this is important, intent means everything, the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying that nation or group. Okay, so that means that there has to be an intent, meaning a specific plan or goal to destroy a nation or group. Okay, now the things that we have to understand is that when it comes to intent, I want to start in reverse. Let's talk about Hamas, shall we? Are you aware of the Hamas charter and what it says? Do you know why, literally, why Hamas exists? The answer, and you can find it right on the web, is that Hamas was created to destroy the state of Israel. End of story. Hamas was not created to make a Palestinian state. It was certainly not created to protect the Palestinian people, because if anything, it puts the Palestinian people in harm's way and under horrible and oppressive rule. But when it comes to intent, the intent of Hamas's very existence, okay, is genocidal. Read it yourself and then go back to the definition that I just read, which again is the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying that nation or group. By literal definition, the Hamas charter is genocidal. Now, another thing that I want to point out, because war is ugly, okay? It's ugly, it's horrible, it's horrifying, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't even matter who's on the other side. It is always devastating to see the casualties of war. But you have to understand that war is not genocide. Okay, genocide has nothing to do with, for example, the numbers. It has nothing to do with whether it's civilian casualties or militant casualties. It has to do with the intent, okay? If you want to think about, you could say, well, but all the people who are killed in Gaza are Gazans. As I used to say, or we used to say when we were kids in the 70s and 80s, no duh. Every war is exactly the same in that respect. That the nation that is at war, the casualties will be from that nation. Okay, that is just like a first grade explanation of war. If you want to say that because X number of Gazans are being killed in a war in Gaza, then by that very definition, every single war that has ever existed is also a genocide. And I'm gonna go out on a limb and assume that this is not what you think, that perhaps there's a little bit of a double standard at play here. And by the way, there is zero moral equivalence, zero, like less than one, between maniacal and bloodthirsty terrorists slaughtering innocent civilians at point blank range in the most barbaric example of savagery imaginable. I'm having trouble saying my words today. Like what we saw occur on October 7th in the targeted operations of a legitimate national military that is defending itself and its people in a war on terror that they did not want, did not start, and did not ask for. But yet, the world community expects of Israel things that it would never ask of any other country, as in, hey, just let it slide, or hey, you could go in, but just don't go in with too much force. Oh, and by the way, do not win. Tell me the other nation, one other nation on earth that is not allowed to defend itself or win a war, much less a defensive war. And by the way, if Israel had the intent of destroying the Arab or Muslim people, whatever, however you want to define it, let's keep in mind that more than 20% of Israel is Arab, okay? Never mind that 0% of the Arab world is Jewish. Over 20% of the Israeli population is Arab, and 82% of those Arabs are Muslim. So if Israel had the intention to destroy a nation or group, i.e. Arab Muslims, as everybody seems to be alleging, they would just slaughter them. I mean, their citizens. It would be very easy to round them up the way that Germany did to its Jews or Assad did to his own people, rather than giving them instead full citizenship, full freedom, and more rights, equal rights, than they will get anywhere else in the Middle East, okay? Hardly sounds like a genocide to me. And so moving on, we have the ICJ, right? The so-called good guys, the Court of Justice. It sounds so nice, doesn't it? At the ICJ right now, South Africa, which brought the case against Israel, which assumed genocidal intent, and now Ireland are literally trying to get the court to redefine genocide in order to incriminate Israel because they know they have no case. Could you imagine if you were brought to court for some sort of whatever allegation, it doesn't matter what it is, and they made new laws to ensure that you were guilty because the current laws did not support that? Okay, but never fear. The ICJ, the ICC, the UN, and many, many other world bodies have a long and illustrious history of applying double standards exclusively to the Jewish state that are in no way applied to any other country on earth. So justice is far from a foregone conclusion, but let's put that aside. Nobody knows how that ruling is gonna go, but with the new definition, hey, it could very well be a genocide now. Now, in case you haven't gotten the memo, and I know that most people haven't, or they got it and ignored it, because that's super convenient. The IDF, the Israel Defensive Forces, are literally the most moral military, not just on Earth today, but in the entire history of warfare. Don't believe me? We're going to go ahead and look at some of the things that the IDF does to mitigate civilian casualties in stark contrast to what Hamas does to maximize them. I'm also going to encourage you to look at my conversations with John Spencer and Andrew Fox, who will be coming back on the show in coming weeks, to talk about military morality and what actually goes on in Gaza vis-a-vis the IDF. Okay, let's get into some of the things that people just discount, or even better, they like to condemn. Let's start with roof knocking. Do you know what roof knocking is? So roof knocking is when Israel drops things on roofs, not bombs, just things that make a sound so that people know to get out of the area and get safe. So many people are like, well, who cares? Like, you're telling them to get out of the area. You know, like, who are you to tell them to get out of the area? Okay, so do me a favor. Show me the Hamas terrorist, just one will be fine, who knocked on the roof or the door of innocent Jewish civilians ever, as in ever, to warn them to get out of harm's way. Okay? Not to be confused with breaking down the doors of safe rooms so that they could murder the Israeli citizens that are cowering inside. Different kind of knocking. Okay. There's that. Let us go on, shall we? So, do you have a problem with millions, literally millions of flyers, phone calls, and texts that go directly to Gazan civilians to get them out of harm's way? I mean, can you imagine that the IDF takes such pains to drop millions of flyers and actually call on the phone? They have troops who are set aside to call and text Gazans to tell them to get out of harm's way. Do you understand how far above and beyond that is? Again, the genocide people need to prove intent. If I intend to kill an entire population, I'm probably not going to text the mom and be like, hey, get yourself to safety. Okay, we're coming in 3 hours. Okay. Also, never mind that this strategy also means that the IDF happens to be telling their enemy their entire war strategy in order to save civilian lives, and the IDF in so doing is compromising their own safety and success in this war. They are giving away their military blueprint to the enemy state. Doesn't sound like the intent to destroy to me. So why don't you show me the Hamas terrorist, anyone, again, anyone, who warned innocent Jewish civilians to get out of harm's way before the massacres of carnage of 10/7 or any other time ever. Instead of phone calls, you know what Hamas did with the phone information that they had? Oh, and why did they have phone information and data on Israelis? Oh, right. Because the people that they slaughtered in these kibbutzes were peace activists. Okay? These were border communities that were literally dedicated to creating peaceful coexistence with their neighbors. These are people who employed Gazans so that they could earn significantly more by working in Israel than they could by working in Gaza. Oh, also, there were those, quite many in number, who transported Gazans across the border so they could save their lives and get them medical care. Oh, well, that's interesting. So here we have a whole slew of Gazans who have these friends in Israel who are literally doing everything they can to take care of them and create peaceful coexistence. So instead of doing what Israel does, which is literally call the enemy and warn them to get to safety, they used the phone and other data to draw maps and compile their strategy so they know during the massacre exactly who will be where, when, and so that they could have the most effective attacks. Thinking, boy, it's still very foggy what the intent is on each of these sides. But let's go on, shall we? So you may know that there have been found quite a few Hamas terrorist headquarters and other infrastructure inside of and underneath hospitals, okay? Not to mention the mosques, the schools, the apartment buildings. Let's focus on hospitals for a second, okay? So do you have a problem with the IDF literally transporting patients and staff out of a hospital to safety? Because Hamas has terror infrastructure within or beneath the hospital and is using its most vulnerable citizens as human shields. Because on 10/7, quite the opposite, Hamas terrorists literally massacred the sick and elderly Israelis in their beds in the most horrific fashion the human mind could ever comprehend. And I'll tell you what, this human mind can't even comprehend the barbarity. It's so far beyond the human imagination what happened that day, that the massacre, far from taking those who are infirmed or elderly or babies out of harm's way, Hamas decided a better route would be to slaughter Holocaust survivors and infants in their beds. Genocide? Boy, this is so confusing, isn't it? I'll tell you what. If you have a problem with the IDF creating humanitarian corridors for Gazans to go to designated safe zones, because again, you have a problem with displacing people from one place to another, never mind that there are terrorists in one of the places and safety in the other, I would love it. I would love you to show me the Hamas terrorist who allowed innocent Israeli families to move or to be safe in their safe rooms instead of shooting them, dismembering them, kidnapping them, or even better, deliberately burning entire families alive. Things that you would never see from the IDF, other than if you really love and enjoy Pallywood. Get out the popcorn, folks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go online, type it in. Pallywood. It's existed as long as social media, where the Palestinians make fake movies about fake atrocities and put them all over social media so that the useful idiots can spread it all over the place. Again, don't take my word for it. Google it. It's a thing. Okay. And I'll tell you what, those are just a few of the measures that the IDF takes to mitigate civilian casualties. Oh, but shall I go on? Are you still not convinced? How about this? Since the war began, Israel has not only vaccinated 97% of the Gazan population, by the way, at the same time that our own hostages are not being vaccinated or cared for in any way, not just by the Gazans, but by the Red Cross, by the UN, by the humanitarian organizations who have completely ignored the fact that we still have 100 captives being held hostage in brutal captivity in Gaza. Oh, sorry, I digress. Back to the vaccination. Israel has vaccinated 97% of the Gazan population. You know what I'm gonna say, I hope. Show me the genocidal regime that inoculates the enemy state. Last time I checked, the point of vaccination was to save lives, not destroy them. Oh, but that's just consequential, of course, to the real issue at hand, right? Keep in mind that the starvation that Israel has caused in Gaza, let's look at the actual facts instead of, again, emotional responses. And by the way, even the UN, who hates Israel and is so heavily biased against them, put out a report saying that there is no starvation in Gaza. But let's put that aside, because that was so quiet, because nobody wants to know that. Nobody wants to know that Israel has actually facilitated well over, like hundreds of thousands over, well over 1 million tons of aid to Gaza. Okay? Gaza has been receiving more than 3,000 calories per day, per person in aid. Okay? That is more than the average man in a first world country in peacetime is meant to consume daily. So how is that starvation? I mean, let's put aside the fact that it's actually not Israel's responsibility to feed and care for the citizens of an avowed enemy state who, by the way, just happened to commit the worst one-day genocide, yes, 10/7 was a genocide in the free world since the Holocaust. Let's put that aside. What has happened to all that aid? If there are Gazans who are not getting food, despite over 3,000 calories per day per person coming into the country, how could that be? Well, In case you haven't seen the videos, because they are everywhere, Hamas actually hijacks most of this aid, and then they sell it for highly inflated prices on the black market to its own citizens in order to fund its terror. Think about that for a second. Israel is facilitating the very aid that is being sold and used by Hamas to finance their own terror. But that's nothing new. For decades, the international community has funneled billions of dollars of aid into Gaza. And instead of using it to build a beautiful, peaceful, and prosperous land, instead of building schools and parks and beaches and resorts and an economy, Hamas stole all of that money to build their terror tunnels and arsenal. Why? Because, let's rewind, Hamas exists for one reason, and it is the genocide of the Jewish state. Again, their words, not mine. Read their charter. So, even though the world has decided for some reason that Hamas are the good guys and the democratic Western state of Israel are the bad guys, and that Hamas are the purveyors of truth and Israel is nothing but a propaganda machine, you can actually go to the IDF briefings and social media, if you really care to see the plain evidence of how Israel conducts itself in Gaza and what they have been finding in these enemy targets. Okay, Israel documents the war in order to hold up to international and internal scrutiny. What does Hamas do with their videos? Oh, right. I seem to remember that they actually used their GoPro cameras to gleefully document the atrocities that they committed upon the Israelis on 10/7, and the world cheered them on. Hooray! Terror! Such an awesome and heartwarming thing. And then there's the fact that the IDF routinely, and I'm talking about now and in all wars past, calls off planned operations if there appears to be a high risk of civilian casualties. This has been well documented and is despite the fact that Hamas deliberately uses its own population as human shields and sacrifices. If Israel were trying to commit a genocide, and again, genocide implies intent, they would take advantage of these human shields and sacrifices and simply kill them all. But they don't. Period. They just don't. And keep in mind that the human shield strategy itself only exists at all because Hamas is counting on the IDF's morality. Otherwise, human shields would not be a deterrent. Imagine if instead of Israel creating the most advanced missile defense forces on Earth in order to protect its own citizens, they tried to appeal to Hamas's human decency and employed human shields as well in hopes of deterring Hamas. We all know what would happen, and we saw it on 10/7. Far from pulling back, given the opportunity, Hamas would and did flood in to kill and torture as many people as possible. That is called genocide. But let me go on, shall I? Because this case does not end there. The ludicrousy of the allegation is so beyond anything resembling reality. If Israel wanted to destroy Gaza, are you aware that Israel has nuclear weaponry? I mean, I assume you are. Everybody knows that. If they wanted to destroy Gaza, they could have done it in 1 minute. 1 minute, just boom, done, gone, Gaza flattened. That would be a genocide. And by the way, they literally could have done this any minute of any day for approximately the last 60 years. That didn't happen. So why not? Why not just nuke Gaza if your intention is to destroy the entire nation? Now, you might say, well, there's the hostages, right? And by the way, let's not discount the fact that all 100 of those hostages represents an entire litany of war crimes on behalf of Hamas and many innocent Gazan civilians who took part not only in the kidnapping, but also are holding Israeli hostages captive. Okay, but let's put that aside because nobody seems too concerned with details or facts these days. So people might say, okay, well, Israel is not going to nuke Gaza simply because the hostages are there. And if they were to kill all the Gazans, they would also kill all the hostages. Okay, so why not nuke Lebanon? There's no hostages there. Or why not nuke Iran? I mean, right now, Iran has zero air defenses, okay? They are a sitting duck. If Israel wanted to, they could go into Iran right now without any defense from Iran and do whatever they want to do. Are they doing that? Oh, right. No. Why? Because Israel is not looking to destroy anyone. They're looking to defend their own people, which is a noble effort that any nation on earth would partake in. Oh, and by the way, what do you think Iran would do if the roles were reversed? If all of a sudden all of the Israeli air defense forces were suddenly destroyed and Iran had carte blanche to go in and destroy Israel? We all know what would happen. Don't kid yourself. If Iran had the nuclear bomb and Israel was known to be vulnerable, if the roles were reversed for so much as a minute, Iran would take full advantage and destroy the Jewish state immediately. Is the picture starting to become a little bit clearer? And by the way, I do have live chat turned off because I can't take the soul level abuse that people levy upon me for stating facts. However, once this is posted, you will be able to leave comments. As long as your comments remain respectful and based in fact, I will happily discuss these issues with you. As you can see, I have done with other anti-Israel commenters on my other episodes. However, if you think that the best way to converse with me is by threatening my life or throwing racial slurs at me, or anything else that is just intended to be mean, you will be deleted and you will be hidden from my channel. So can we try to keep this civil and fact-based? Okay, let's go back to facts, folks. Whew. Okay, so Israel could have destroyed Gaza in a matter of a minute, as previously mentioned, or another thing they could have done if they didn't want to take the nuclear option would have been to just do airstrikes only. Now, if you don't understand the difference between airstrikes and a ground invasion, when you conduct a ground invasion, you are actually putting your own soldiers at risk in order to minimize collateral damage. So had Israel stuck with just like carpet bombing or indiscriminate bombing or dumb bombs, an air invasion would have actually saved hundreds of Israeli soldiers' lives. But instead, those lives were sacrificed in order to minimize, once again, Gazan civilian casualties. On top of that, I'm sure that you know, because you care so much, that the IDF gave humanitarian pauses in deference to the holy month of Ramadan every day. Seems like a fair and kind thing to do, right? What did Hamas do on one of the holiest days of the Jewish calendar, on Simchat Torah, which also happened to be Shabbat that day? They took advantage of the holiday to attack early in the morning when most people were still in bed in order to maximize the casualties. Which one is a genocide? The one that goes out of its way to respect another's holidays, or the one that uses the holiday as an excuse to kill said people of said religion? If you haven't already seen Andrew Fox's groundbreaking report that came out, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago with the Henry Jackson Society, you could see over 100 pages of documented evidence of falsified casualty numbers in Gaza. Okay? This figure that is put out by the Ministry of Health, okay? That's Hamas, by the way. Sounds super noble, doesn't it? It's actually Hamas. Their figures that they put out, and let's assume the 45,000 is an actually correct number. This is everyone who has died since October 7th, 2023. Okay, almost 16 months. Okay, this includes, yes, people killed in the war. It also includes natural deaths. It includes deaths by misfired Hamas rockets, which is about 25 to 30% of all rockets fired land within Gaza and kill their own civilians, but Israel gets to get the blame for those too. Car accidents, home accidents, falling off of things, all the normal things that people die from, those are all included in this 45,000 number figure, okay? Now, I know that seems like a lot. Let's just put this in perspective. In the U.S. War on Terror, there were 440,000 civilian casualties. 440,000, okay? That's 10 times as much. Where's the outrage? Where are the genocidal accusations? Oh, they don't exist. Why? Because it wasn't intent and it wasn't a genocide, okay? Sorry, let's go back to Andrew Fox's report. And again, I'm very excited that he's going to be coming back on the show to discuss his findings. But among the civilian deaths and the children who died in this war are all the teenage Hamas combatants who are out there trying to kill Israeli forces, okay? I don't care if you're 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13 years old, 12. If you have an RPG on your shoulder, you are not a child. You are now an enemy combatant. And by international law, you are actually a fair target. But in this 45,000, where they say that the majority are children, a lot of those children are Hamas operatives that are actively trying to engage in killing IDF forces. There's also evidence of men who were killed that were put in the report as women, men who were killed that were put in the report as babies, okay? It's so deeply falsified. And according to Hamas, there have only been civilian casualties. Not a single combatant is within this 45,000 person figure, despite the fact that Hamas is everywhere, literally everywhere in Gaza. Okay, well, since the civilians of Gaza not only voted for Hamas as their leadership, but also ecstatically took part in and celebrated the massacres of 10/7, in tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Gazans are actual Hamas members. To that extent, sure, they're all civilians. And if you want to look at the actual ratio of civilian to combatants killed, keep in mind in urban warfare, and right now what's going on in Gaza is an urban warfare landscape that has never been seen, never to this complexity in the history of warfare. The technical strategy that has to occur in order for the IDF to go in is beyond imagination. And before they went in, the U.S. warned that there would be tens of thousands of IDF casualties. There have been a few hundred. Each one is an absolute tragedy. But Israel has navigated this insane urban environment to not only match the average combatant to civilian casualty ratio, which is normally one combatant to nine civilians. That is normal. What has occurred in Gaza has been basically a 1-to-1 ratio. 1-to-1. Now, is it still horrible that all of those Gazans have been killed? 100%. 100%. But show me the war that does not have civilian casualties. Show me the war ever in the history of the world, ever, that does not have civilian casualties. And then let's look at urban warfare. Again, urban warfare experts, John Spencer and Andrew Fox, who have both been on my show, as well as Colonel Richard Kemp, have all independently verified that the morality of the IDF is beyond compare, and that, in fact, there is no genocide in Gaza, and that the civilian to combatant ratio right now, casualty ratio, is approximately 1-to-1. Now, if you want to assume that the Hamas statistics are true, and they're not, but let's just assume that they are, because who doesn't trust a good terrorist? Let's say that about 45,000 Gazans have been killed, and 85%, as they say, of Gaza has been destroyed. So you do the numbers. 85% of Gaza destroyed, 2% of the Gazan population killed, including at least half of that number being Hamas terrorists. We're talking about 85% of Gaza destroyed and 1% of the civilian population as casualties of war. Now, again, I'm not here to discount those casualties. Every life lost is a tragedy. I truly believe that. But you have to understand that this is not indicative in any way of a genocide. If there were genocidal intent, 85% of Gaza destroyed would translate to something in the vicinity of 85% of the population killed, not 1%. And by the way, using Hamas's numbers, okay? I'm not using like Israeli numbers or even UN numbers. Using Hamas's numbers of their health ministry, the Gazan population has actually increased by 5% since October 7th, 2023, meaning that the birth rate is higher than the death rate. And again, this includes not just people killed in combat, but every single person who has died in the last 16 months in Gaza for any reason at all. This qualifies as the most pathetic genocide ever, if you really believe, if you honestly believe that there was any genocidal intent, then the IDF is the most useless army and military on earth. Obviously, they can't get the job done. If you want to talk about real genocides, keep in mind again, 45,000 is the inflated number given by Hamas themselves of the deaths in Gaza. I just want to know how you feel about Rwanda. Oh, right. Remember Rwanda, where 800,000 people were massacred by their neighbors with machetes in 100 days? Okay, that's a genocide. Oh, remember Syria? I know everybody is just all up in arms about Syria, where Assad actually butchered 1 million of his own people. That's a genocide. Or how about Darfur? I'm sure you're very, very concerned about Darfur, where 400,000 people have already been slaughtered. But we're not concerned with genocide, are we? What we're concerned about here is the Jewish state. And that's what ultimately this is all about. And one more thing. Let me make a quick reminder. Hamas could have ended this war, the war that they started, at any moment of any day since October 7th, 2023, if they wanted to. It's been over 450 days now. And in those days, all they had to do, give back the hostages and lay down their arms. Now, if Hamas had any actual concern for their own citizens, they would have done that. But they don't, and they haven't. Hamas would rather use its citizens as human shields so that they can boost the numbers killed, so that they can win over the hearts and minds of the useful idiots who are drunk on the anti-Semitic Kool-Aid that has intoxicated so much of the world right now. We live in a post-factual society. And even if you know nothing about the concept of war or the concept of genocide, it's actually not Israel's responsibility to protect Gaza. It's Hamas's responsibility. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. You could Google this. Leader of Hamas actually said out loud and on media that it is not Hamas's responsibility to protect its own people. Keep in mind, they are the elected government of the Gazan people. But he said it is not Hamas's responsibility to protect the people of Gaza. It's the responsibility of the United Nations and the international community. In what world? In what world is a government not responsible for the security and safety of its own people? That is actually the number one responsibility of a government. Listen, this is a war that Israel did not ask for, that they did not want, and they have every right on earth to fight until they win. There's no other country on earth that is told to show restraint instead of winning a war. The point of war is to win. Israel has gone to great lengths to protect the civilians of Gaza. Civilian casualties are inevitable in war. They're ugly and they are desperately unfortunate. But that does not make war genocide. And before I go, because fa la la, it is New Year's Eve and some of you may want to go out and merry make. I know this isn't the merriest of talks. In fact, there's nothing merry about it. But let me just ask you this. Why are people spending so much time and energy twisting themselves into moral knots in an effort to defend the terrorists of Hamas and discredit the Jewish state? Think about that, and I will see you on Monday. Happy New Year. May we see the return of all 100 hostages. And Am Yisrael Chai.